just recently I added on, I don't know if you notice on the email that goes, if you get the email and the email that goes out at the bottom of it, I've added in a election line, human generated, you know, human curated since 2001, just to sort of be like, especially now as AI is coming in more and more, I was like, wanted it to be clear that there's a person who sees this. And that way, you know, it's also for the, again, to make sure that none of the bad actors and, you know, like fringe media get through and everything like that.
The full and free exercise of our sacred right and duty to vote is more important in the long run than the personal hopes or ambitions of any candidate for any office in the land.
You're listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, an insider's look at election administration hosted by Brianna Lennon and Eric Fay.
Welcome back to another amazingly fun episode of High Turnout, Wide Margins. My name is Brianna Lennon. I'm the county clerk for Boone County, Missouri, and with me is my co-host,
Eric Fay, Director of Elections in St. Louis County, Missouri.
And today we're really excited because we've got a few things to cover, but what we really want to talk about is an amazing resource for election officials called Election Line, which is headed by...
Hi, this is Mindy Moretti, and I am the chief bottle washer, I guess, editor-in-chief of Election Line. I always feel that seems so editor-in-chief. It's very, I'm in charge of Election Line. I am Election Line.
So before we get too deep into Election 9 and all of the amazing like content that it produces and disseminates to election officials all across the country, we'd love to know how you first got your start in elections and what brought you to, you know, creating this resource.
Sure. So credit where credit is due. It was created by Doug Chapin in 2001, following there was a little election that people might still be familiar with that happened in 2000. And so he created that in 2001 is sort of when it got off the ground. But for me, I had been, I wanted to be a reporter, and that's sort of what I had done. I'd done some reporting, and my previous job was I was working at the National Association of Counties, working for County News, and you write about it. Counties do a lot. Counties do it all, really. And so I had been writing about a variety of different things, but I wrote a lot about elections and meth, interestingly enough. And then it just the opportunity came along to join the Election Line team in November of 2005. So I'm on year 19 at this point in time. And so it was either that or, you know, sort of go a different route with my meth background. And I chose elections over that. And so that's how I am here today.
I wonder if you can take us through what it takes to make Election Line happen. Every day you're putting out stuff. What does a typical day look like for you to get it ready?
Sure. So every morning I send out an email. I post on the site and send out an email of the news stories for that day. Typically I start at 4:50, and the reason it's 4:50 a.m. is because a lot of sites don't drop their news for the day until 5 a.m. So to do it earlier, I'm going to miss some things. There's things that get dropped right at 5 a.m. You know, that's like when NPR goes live with their stories for the day at 5 a.m. So we sort of found that 5 a.m. was the sweet spot. So I do a story. It is not AI generated. There is no assistance. It is me. I like to joke and refer, say that I'm a professional Googler. And so I have a list of about 125 to 150 search terms that I essentially roll through every morning and find those stories and post them. I have some hard and fast rules. No Fox News, but also no MSNBC. So I try and stay away from the two ends of the spectrum. Try and keep it as middle of the road as possible. I'm not perfect with that because it's become exceedingly easy to create websites that look very newsy, that if you actually sit and drill down to it, they are definitely from one side or the other. So I always welcome, like, please, if you see me post at a site that you're like, that's my local community and you should probably not be posting that, I'm happy to not post that moving forward. I've talked to, like, so Tommy Gong was great about with that in San Luis Obispo County. There was a site that looked pretty legit, but probably was not. More recently, in Shasta County, There was a site that I was like, well, this seems legit, but I'm not sure. So I reached out to Kathy, and she's like, yeah, oh, absolutely. They're a good, legit news source. So yeah, so every morning, so I go through and weed through those, and I've gotten, you know, just been doing it for so long that I've gotten pretty good about, you know, figuring that out and looking at a headline. And I try not to post straight up press releases either, because it's like, yeah, you know. And so like, if I'll see a story about polling places being open, I'm like, I will click on that and look at that, because I'm like, if it's just the information with like the polling place hours, that's not really, if a county clerk or an election official is quoted in it, absolutely, I'm going to post that. But if it's just, you know, here's how you find, you know, here's a link to how you find your polling place, these are the polling place hours, I'm like, that's not really it. So it's been interesting. It's, you know, my search terms have grown over the years. You know, I never had a separate sort of search for drop boxes, and that became a thing. You know, so I have a separate, like, I actually now search just for drop boxes. I actually now, due to some issues that have come up, I actually search specifically for Election Monitor, because some counties in Bridgeport, Connecticut have gotten monitors put in to deal with things. So yeah, so the terms have changed over the years, and increased over the years, but that's it. Takes me about an hour to do it, and then I send it out, and then on Thursday I do that. I sort of compile all of, you know, some of the legislation and legal news on Thursday mornings, and usually a story that I've written or someone else has written, and out then that's the weekly newsletter. So that's my, yeah, so like I said, I'm a professional Googler. That's my job. If you need to find something on the internet, send me a text. I'll find it for you.
So that was fascinating for me to learn. I had actually no idea how the daily email was compiled. It sounds like a lot more work than I think many people might envision. Do you worry at all about, by excluding some of those outlets you mentioned, that sometimes they are bringing up some of these conspiracy theories and things that eventually do impact election officials? I'm thinking of, for instance, the Gateway Pundit. You know, they have put out some very egregious things in recent years, but those things that they've peddled have eventually impacted election offices in real ways. And so how do you manage that interplay?
Yeah, you know, it's a really tough call, because I don't want to give them more voice. And I feel like they're, you know, without, you know, with not tooting my own horn, but I feel like Election Line, it sort of has become like a source for like actual news. And so I don't want to give them the legitimacy of being posted somewhere, but I do like keep track of that. I do try and be aware of that. And sort of the minute someone like an NPR or an ABC or CBS touches on that, or the AP, Christina Cassidy at the Associated Press, she's great. So as soon as one of them starts to touch on it, I absolutely will do it. But I don't want to give them any more voice than what they're getting. And because I feel like Election Line will certainly, we have reporters, you know, elections officials and reporters and legal scholars and things like that who are reading it. I mean, not exclusively, of course, but most of our folks are not the general public that are reading Election Line. So I, you know, the folks that are reading it are aware of sort of the world that we live in, as far as like elections go. And so I don't want to give voice to either side of it.
Has there always been a reporting side of things? Like, I feel like the spotlight features and things like that, was that something that existed when Doug had it, or has that evolved over time?
Yes. Yes, it has. That has always been the weekly on Thursday, has always been part of it. And the stories, it's interesting too, sort of how the stories on that have gone over the years, because as with from fashion to elections, to everything old is new again. So, you know, we were writing voter ID stories 20 years ago, and now like, oh, now we have to start doing, you know, and readership is different and new, but it just, voter ID is back. Not that it ever went away, but sort of there was a drumbeat of it for a very long time. That was all sort of everybody talked about was voter ID. And then we sort of stepped back from that, and now it's sort of coming back into play and everything. So yeah, so there's always been a weekly, and, you know, election officials are also like super smart. And super inventive, so they're always coming up with new things to do. And I'm like, you know, help me tell your story. Let me, you know, did you, like the more recent, most recently was the ride along program in California, where they essentially take people who have questions and they let them ride along with their staff to the drop boxes and watch them do their work. Which I have to give those staff a lot of credit to have someone do that with them. So
I feel like Election Line does several unique things that I think only exist in or on Election Line. For instance, the daily aggregation of the state specific stories. You know, for I'm sure, you know, Tammy kind of makes a joke out of it, but a lot of us, we look at that email to see, are there any stories from our state, you know, today? And we look exactly, you know, right there immediately. And but joking aside, it's really one of the best or only ways that a lot of us can see what's going on around our state. I've found out that my colleagues around Missouri have, you know, are doing things that I wouldn't probably have learned about for a while, but not for Election Line. And also on the weekly email, you've got the job postings, the event postings, the kind of in memoriam section of election officials that have passed away or moved on to other things, or like, I don't know anywhere else where all these things happen or are aggregated. And I'm curious how each of those things kind of came about. I mean, you identified that need somehow.
Yeah, you know, I, you know, obviously, again, always giving credit where credit is due, which is Doug. You know, this was his, I always like to joke, this was his baby, and it's become my unruly teenager. Because although now going into their, it's going into its 20s, so it's not so much a teenager anymore. It's an industry publication. It really is. I mean, it's a publication for the industry. Obviously, a lot of other people tap into it and read it, but it was really designed as like, here's what's happening in this industry. And it's very funny because I used to work, I used to write for the Association of Zoos and Aquariums before NACO. So like, I was like, I always like to joke with elections officials. I'm like, you think you have a preparedness plan? Let me tell you about the preparedness plans that a zoo or aquarium director has. I feel like there's like some sort of like meeting of the minds there. They could like, they could really come together on that. And everyone always jokes that the first two places people usually go are the personnel news to see who's left what job, and so therefore what job might be open, and also then going to the job listings to see what jobs are available. And that all predated to, like, you know, this current turnover of elections officials. It's, you know, the personnel news is a bit of a gossip column. Without being gossipy, it's just, this person is no longer at that job. Follow the link to find out why. And then the job posting, what's, you know, what's available. So it's definitely changed. Doug used to joke that his goal was to have at least one new news story a day, for the daily. But now there's never fewer than 25 stories. And, you know, once as we get moving into, you know, sort of in the next 2 weeks because of Super Tuesday and then beyond that, I mean, oh, my gosh, come September, it's just I weep a little bit when I think about what September, October and November are going to be like, which is nothing like you guys have to deal with. I mean, literally all I'm doing is Googling things and it's overwhelming. So I can't even fathom what it's like for the elections officials. It's just, but it's, you know, I have an idea, but I'm not in the weeds, so I don't know. I am up when you guys are up, so please take solace in that around November, I'm awake if you guys are awake.
Hello, I'm Eric Fay, Director of Elections in St. Louis County, Missouri, and you're listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, a podcast where we explore local election administration.
I'm curious, as it's been acquired now, or at least partnered with the Election Center, does that give you more interface with election officials?
I mean, I would think it's pretty consistent. I will say this, it makes it much easier for me to track down somebody's email address, because let me tell you, some of y'all don't make it easy, and I understand why, but I'm like, oh, now I have a database where I can go in and see what somebody's email address is without having to, like, Google it and send in a form and be like, all right, this is the rule for that one, so clearly this must be what their email address is. But it's been great because I wasn't always funded to go to conferences. And so now as a staff for Election Center, I'm able to go to conferences. And so like I hear about things and I actually, you know, get to meet people face to face, but it is really nice. Like I'm actually currently in Nashville, for Election Center's February workshops. So in these workshops, it's all like sort of the programs that won awards last year. So it's listening to everybody talk about it. And I'm like, I'm going to write a story about that. I'm going to write a story about this. I'm going to, you know, so it's been nice to have that access that I didn't. It wasn't like I was refused that access. It just was more difficult to have in the past. And now I sort of have it. It's easily accessible. And so that's nice. So I'm looking forward to being able to promote more of these like amazing programs that counties have sort of had to figure out, you know, being the mother of invention, that I think a lot of elections officials are, that people just don't realize.
So, you know, a lot of folks say at conferences, I know Matt Masterson was kind of famous for always saying he learned more at the hotel bar at a conference than anything else. And that's where, you know, you hear all the war stories. So now that you're at these conferences, Mindy, do people have to watch out for you, like hanging around the bar, like getting the scoop on certain things or what?
I'm media adjacent. Like, I'm not the media, because that is not Election Line's goal. I will say this. If the Springfield News Leader, if that paper in Missouri has written a story because an election official there's been an issue, I'm not going to not publish that because that's bad news, but it is not my goal to ever write any story for Election Line that's bad news. I mean, you know, when the Eric stuff started sort of happening, personally, I think that story, all that sort of stunk, and that's what it was, but I'm like, I have to post it. It is what it is. I mean, it's factual. And I have to post it. But no, like as far as like stories for, you know, things for Election Line, people, I always tell people, like I said, I'm media adjacent. People can still speak freely around me. I might be like, oh, that seems interesting. Can we talk about that? You know, would you be willing to talk about that? And if they say no, I'm like, that is what it is then.
In your role, I assume that you get to see trends nationally that a lot of us that are just working in our own individual county, like Eric said, we find out about adjacent counties from Election Line because we're not following their local news. Can you prognosticate anything for the remainder of the year of what you think you're going to be seeing in news or what we'll be seeing, you know, as national trends?
You know, I mean, three stories make a trend. If you see three news stories about something, like, oh, there's a trend. You know, I never thought... when I started my career in journalism and then subsequently became that I would be quoting and believing in the words of the former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. But he was right. He's like, there are the known knowns, there are the unknown knowns, and there are the unknown unknowns. And what those unknown unknowns are, I mean, it happens every year. There's literally no one going into 2020. A pandemic was an unknown unknown. You know, and so no, I honestly, I feel like since 2020, there's just been, I mean, certainly since 2016, but definitely since 2020, there's been so much. I'm like, what could possibly be more? But there's something will happen that just no one is anticipating. I mean, you know, the known unknowns are when Virginia had an earthquake on Election Day. You're like, maybe somewhere in the back of your mind, you were prepared for that because you were prepared. They were prepared for something to happen. Something, you know, could have been a thunderstorm, could have been a tornado, happened to be an earthquake. So, you know, it's like in Virginia, Southern California, you're like, of course we had an earthquake. Virginia, less so. So they're like, you know, we just moved the polling places. They moved the polling places outside. That was, I mean, but that was like the same thing. They were prepared for that the same way they would have been prepared for power outage, a tornado, that sort of thing. No one was prepared for 2020. I mean, just literally, it was an unknown unknown. And so what that will, if we have something like that, I, to be honest, also for the 2020 general election, I think the unknown unknown was, how well it went. There were like, I joke that Election Day 2020 was boring because there was like, it went shockingly well. I mean, given how it could have gone, given everything that had led up to it. I mean, Election Day, I was like, there were the typical, there's always a car that drives into a polling place. That is my favorite elections trend, is like every major election day, someone will drive their car into a polling place. Fortunately, most of the time people don't get hurt. But you know, so it was such a typical sort of boring election day, which is just then shocks me given everything that's happened since and stuff like that. So what I think could have, I don't even know. I honestly, at this point, I don't even know what I think could happen more in the coming months. Something will happen, but what that would be, I think it's how, you know, legislation is going to play out. I think that's, you know, but that's normal. Could somebody come in at the last minute with some crazy legislation? Sure. We have no idea. But I am confident in the elections folks. You know, I think there's a lot of new people, and I think that's really probably going to be the biggest thing that comes into play, is like so many new people who are running an election that have never done one before, and what a one to have to run for your first for your first big one. So I think that is probably going to be the biggest story, and it's not, I'm sure that the majority, there's no malice in it. It's just I'm new at my job, and this is an overwhelming job, and so, you know, I think that's going to be probably the biggest story coming out of this year at an official level, you know, for an elections official. And then it will be something totally different, and we'll look back at this and we'll laugh.
Yeah. In my office, I always say it's never the same thing, but it's always something. So
yes. It's always coming. Something.
Always something. One of my personal favorite things on Election Line is the end of the year, what's in, what's out thing. And I never feel like I'm clever enough to submit anything for that. But there's some what I consider very clever things that people submit. And I'm just curious, as the person who receives all these, have you ever been sitting there like reading somebody's email that they've submitted this and you just spit your coffee out because it was so hilarious?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People are so creative, and you know, not only just with elections officials, but the world in general. That's one of the blessings and the curse of the internet, is you're like, wow, people are really smart and funny, and you get to learn that about people that you wouldn't know otherwise. So sort of doing this list, you're like, huh, that is not what I expected for that person to say. And that person is really funny and really creative. That's why no one ever wants their name actually attached to their submission. They're like, you can say I submitted something, but no one has to know it was me. Yeah, people are super creative. And then sometimes it'll be like, sometimes people will be like, I have an idea, but I don't know how to like wordsmith it. And then I always love that I get the emails from people that are like, I can't submit anything because it has nothing but like four letters, you know, like four letter words. I was like, send the idea and we'll see if we can figure out how to do it and keep it like, keep it G rated or PG rated, not necessarily G rated, but keep it PG rated. So people are really smart and really creative. And that list has been super fun to do. You know, sort of, I feel like at some point in time I need to go back and look at the old lists and see. I will say the one that I had on there every year for a very long time was that that were out were lever voting machines in New York. It took a long time for that to come off the list. And I think that it's finally, there probably is a small town in New York State somewhere that's still using lever voting machines. But they were, you know, that finally after multiple years came off that list. Cause I think they finally did, the last small town stopped using them. But it would be fun at some point in time, you know, when it's quiet and there's time to do it. So who knows when that'll be, to go back and sort of look at the list through the years and see what, you know, what sort of came to fruition. Cause some of it is very tongue in cheek. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, no, it's a fun thing to do, and people are super creative, and that's the only time I'm willing to sort of be like, you can submit something. I know it's you, but your name doesn't have to be, you know, an anonymous source. I'm fine with that, as long as I know who submitted it.
I think we're getting close to time, Mindy, but are there anything or things in particular you see as, you know, what's next for Election Line, or things on the Mindy wish list, that kind of thing?
I mean, maybe should I say now that apparently that we're about to become the new host for a certain podcast that's big and important in the elections administration world. You're still going to be working with your same studio, but you guys will be hosted on Election Line now, so everybody can come there and get all, which I'm super excited about because that's always been my thing. Look, Election Line is not the end, you know, the end all be all. I would love people to start at Election Line and then we're going to send you on your way. We're going to send you, you know, to your podcast. We're going to send you to this resource. But, you know, come to us first and we'll sort of get you going and get you started is sort of always my hope. So I'm super excited about you guys now being hosted on Election Line because I think that that's you know, just like Election Line going to the national, going to the Election Center, it seems like it's an appropriate good fit for everybody to get that information. I would say to elections officials who are listening to this, help me help you. If you're doing something that you think is cool and you want your colleagues in either throughout your state or throughout the country to know about, let me know. I mean, because I don't, you know, I do a lot of Googling. I don't see everything because, you know, your local newspaper might not write about it. They just literally don't have the capacity to understand that it's a really cool thing that you are taking your people with you to watch you empty out the drop boxes or whatever, you know, whatever new program it is that you're due. It's not, you know, some of it, it's an amazing, incredible work. And for us, it's really cool and interesting, but for the local reporter, it's not sexy. And it's not, you know, it's not going to get clicks and that sort of thing. But within our industry, it will. So if you're doing something new, please let me know. I am happy to be your cheerleader and put stuff in Election Line because you guys, you know, I'm just here, you guys do the hard work, and I'm just pushing it out there.
Well, I think there are a whole bunch of folks in the elections community that are very thankful that you are willing to forego some sleep to do this work because it's a Election Line is a resource I know so many people utilize in different ways, and it's now, I think, an indispensable part of the election administration community. So thanks for what you do. And
yeah, absolutely.
Hope you keep doing it.
You know, looking forward to it, not looking forward to it, but absolutely looking forward to the next, especially this year.
You've been listening to High Turnout Wide Margins, a podcast that explores local elections administration. I'm your host, Brianna Lennon, alongside Eric Fay. A big thanks to KBIA and the Election Center for making this podcast possible. Our managing editor is Rebecca Smith. Managing producer is Aaron Hay. Our associate producer is Katie Quinn. And our digital producer is Mark Johnson. This has been High Turnout Wide Margins. Thanks for listening.